Next session number 13362, Mr. Bill Pin, Reel 1.
Mr. Bill Pin, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Pin?
Well, I was born in 1918, February 20th, in a little village in Scotland called Mintlaw, in Aberdeenshire.
And what did your father do for a living?
He was a woodcutting machinist.
And how many were there in the family?
Just myself.
Could you tell us a bit about your childhood, just to give us an idea of what sort of a time you had?
Well, I happened to be born in Mintlaw because my father was there doing the war, working on the airships that they had at the end of the Second World War, the R-33 and the R-34.
And that's what you were doing up there. Did you have a happy childhood?
Yes.
Enough to eat and, you know, properly clothed?
As I can remember, yes.
And in 1922 you moved to Watford?
Yes.
What was that for?
Because my father has relations in Stevenage and my mother has relations in Baldock. Now they have come those two towns which adjoin each other, as you know, Hertfordshire. And they moved to Watford and they got a house here.
What do you remember about your education?
I went to the Alexander School as an infant in the junior, and I passed a scholarship at the age of 11. I went to the Watford Central School, which was a higher education field.
And what was your favourite sort of line, subject, or if you like?
I can't really say.
General. Interested in most things.
Yes.
What about sport? Were you keen on sport?
I was keen on football, yes.
And were you a member of any of the boys' clubs at the time, scouts or boys'
brigade? I was a boy scout in Watford.
What sort of activities did they get up to?
Well, we go camping and having... had a meeting every once a week. We went camping and all sorts of drills and things, you know.
Was it very military?
Not really, no. Only when you went on search, but then you have to fall in probably.
But not militaristic?
No.
Now, how old were you when you left school?
I was 16.
So that'd be 1934.
That's right.
And what did you plan to do, or what was planned for you to do?
Nothing really, except that I got a clerical post somewhere. That my father always said, you must get one that's got a pension attached to it. That's just not good to you these days, with unemployment and things are about. So I got a job on the LMS Railway, junior clerk. I passed entrance exam at 16. And that's 8, and I went to night school in London to do my job, and then I went to another exam at 18, and I became a member of the permanent staff.
And what exactly did your job entail? What were you doing?
I was a clerk in the freight section.
Did you enjoy the work?
Yes. So one thing, it took me out each way to get there in the mornings. Or how to get there in the morning, how to get back.
Where were you based?
Broad Street Station, London.
So you had to go right in from Watford?
Yes. It took exactly an hour.
Now, when the war broke out, were you expecting it? Had you anticipated it?
Well, we were told it was going to come, but I don't know whether I expected it or not.
Did you think it would involve you?
Oh, yes. I mean, you read the papers and you see what was going to happen.
You realised you were of an age to be called up?
Yes. Well, we were supposed to be in a reserved occupation, but we weren't when it worked the way out. So.
Now, you were called up on the 15th of February,
yeah.
1940.
Yes.
How did you react when you were called up? What did you feel?
Oh, no, I just thought I was in another phase of my life. I thought it'd be a bit of an adventure, you know.
Were you nervous at all?
I think so.
What about your parents? What did they think?
They didn't say much about it at all, except they expected it was going to happen, and it happened.
Now, when you were called up, where were you sent to?
Bedford.
And
the Bedfordshire and Hertfordshire Regiment.
So that's who you joined?
I didn't join, I was called up.
You called, sorry, yes, you were called up to join the...
Of course, conscripted.
Did you... That's their depot, is it, at Bedford?
It is their main depot, yes.
Did it have a name? Well, does it have
Kempston
a name?
Barracks. It was in the village of Kempston, outside Bedford.
And what about your basic training? What do you remember about it?
Oh, we got a marching arms drill. Route marches every week, 30 miles.
Did you enjoy the training?
Yeah, I did.
Do you think it toughened? You'd been a clerk. Not, you know, did it make you fitter?
It made me a lot fitter, yes, it did.
And how did you get on with your fellow recruits?
Very well.
No problems?
No problems.
Was there any bullying at all?
Not really, no.
What sort of thing was there? What was it?
Well, we were on drill, etc., every day of the week. So it was Sunday. We finished about 5. We had dinner. And the rest of the time was around, except we were on guard. As a lot of us said, that didn't come out very, very often. It went through every month.
You learned to shoot there, did you?
Yeah. I learned to fire a rifle.
Well, you made a difference there. You weren't a good shot, I take it.
Yes.
Oh, you learned to fire a rifle. Sorry, I misunderstood you. What do you mean? How did they go about teaching you?
We went to rifle range. Indoor one at first with a .22 rifle, and when we got to professional, we went on the 303.
You had no problems with it?
No.
With the kick or anything?
No. We had a good instructor to tell us what to expect, what to do about it, and we did, and that was it.
Did you learn anything to do with any of the machine guns, particularly the Bren, I think?
Bren gun, yes, we had a Bren gun.
What did you think of that as a weapon?
Very, very good, I thought. Time, it was the thing that I was seeing, because Lewis gun was too cumbersome. Bren gun, you could carry it, you know.
Did you have any bayonet training or anything?
Oh,
like
yes. That? Yes.
What form did it take?
Well, they had a frame with a bag in, which was the body. It was about 3 feet off the ground and went up another 3 feet. And he was just was told how to. They have to carry a rifle, we have to, you know, charge it.
Did you think, I mean, it was part of modern warfare, the bayonet? I mean, did you know why you were doing it?
Yes, because that was last resort, so to speak. If you were unarmed, you know, you ran out of ammunition and you hadn't got any machine guns or anything, of course, that's it.
What about the hand grenade? Did you get to throw any of them on the roof?
Yes.
About how far could you throw it?
I don't know, I really remember. Anyway, I did it all right anyway. I was passed out on it.
What were your instructors like?
Very good. They were mostly out of the regular army.
They didn't...
Or the territorial army, but mostly the regular army.
Were they patient in the way they taught you? Or?
Well, they was pointed out to us at the time that the way they spoke to you and what I did was not to frighten you or intimidate you, it was just to get things moving. You had to do that to get some other recruits moving at all, you see.
So that's why they had a sort of commanding...
That's manner. Right, yeah, so you obeyed orders. That was the main theme of it. You orders were there to be obeyed, and if a sergeant gave you an order, you did it. Otherwise, you might put in actual warfare, you might put your mates in jeopardy.
Right, now, you were there until, roughly speaking, July 1940, doing your recruit training.
That's right, yeah.
And then you got drafted. Can you tell us what happened?
Well, I went to... we didn't go to Dunkirk, so after Dunkirk, we were drafted to Edinburgh.
He didn't go to Dunkirk, did
he?
No, right.
In France. So we went up... After Fort of France, we went up to Scotland, and we were transferred to several different regiments. I went to Dunmore Infantry, through choice. We went up to Scotland, to Edinburgh.
You had no choice in that?
I had a choice in which one I went to, yes.
Why did you choose the Durhams?
Oh, I fancied it.
No real reason then?
No.
And you were sent to the 16th Battalion?
No, I wasn't sent to. I was sent to their line, and we formed a 16th Battalion.
Now, that was what they call a Dunkirk battalion, wasn't it? They'd formed
no,
it after.
No, it was mostly recruits.
After Dunkirk, yeah.
After Dunkirk, yes, right, yeah.
And you joined on the 4th of July 1940, I think, you decided. Yeah. And what was the state of affairs when you arrived? Because they were just, it was a new battalion. They were being reformed.
Well, we were in a place called Frogston Road in Edinburgh. It was a big, you know, big estate sort of thing. And there was us, and there was another battalion, 14th, further along the lane. And we started there with a load of tents and things, digging the trees and all this nonsense. Then the recruits came in, and I became a company clerk. Because of my experience, I was a company clerk.
They knew you'd been a British railway clerk.
That's right.
And what was your job, if you could just describe to as a company clerk, in as much detail as you remember, what was the job of
company? You kept the information on all the people in the company, you know, the next of kin and all this nonsense and what they'd done, you know. And you had to compile instructions. You know, they say you were given the company was given instructions, you see. You know, so next week you did part one orders. No, we did then, made it a part two orders for the week. Part one orders daily. You kept, another part of the orders, you put everything, like people who were promoted and people who went away. It was like a register of all your people, you see. And of course you had to do a lot of ordinary clerical work. And writing away for things. And
what equipment would you have? Did you have typewriters and things?
We had an old Oliver. You know the old thing, don't you? That's.
Could you? I presume you could type when
yes. I learned at school.
So you had a typewriter. Any other equipment?
Well, table and stools and things. Not much else. and a field telephone, of course.
And what would a typical day's routine be like for you when you were A Company clerk? What time would your day start?
About 8:30. I mean, well, of course, we had to go on parades as well, certain parades about and route marches and things, you know. So you didn't just get a soft job, if you know what I mean. You went on PT with everybody else, you went on route marches with everybody else, anything else like that. And went on training.
So yeah, you carried that on as well.
Oh, yeah.
So your day, what part of the day would you spend doing your clerk's duty? How much?
Oh, I should say something like about 9 to 3. Then, it just depends what was on that day and what you had to take part in.
And what did you think of the lads that made up the 16th Battalion? I mean. Were they the same as you'd been used to in the Beds and Hearts? I mean, some of them were the lads from the Beds and Hearts.
Oh, yes. So what they call the cadre. Is it the cadre? Yeah. Where, in other words, each company had certain people, clerks and things, you know, from Beds and Hearts. And there are RSMs and sergeants and things, you know. They all came from Beds and Hearts.
And what about the raw intake, the raw recruits? Were they as good as...
They come off the street and you had to sort them out and get them kitted out and get all their details and things, you know.
Were they good quality recruits, you think?
Well, they... It's like everybody else. Some weren't fit. Well, I thought they were. I found they'd got some... I mean, inherent complaint, you know, which came out once they got training.
And were they hard-working lads?
They had to be. Like that.
And how long did you stay at Edinburgh?
See, that's where a lot of them failed, you see, because they couldn't stand it.
Now,
not many though.
I know you're a bit vague on your movement, but how long were you? You didn't stay at Edinburgh that long, did you? Before
no.
You were
not that long, no.
What was your next move that you remember?
Went to England. Went to.
What about, you went to Dalkeith for Dalkeith?
I went to Dalkeith, yeah, for a little while.
Did anything much change there?
No, it was the same thing, only moved away, that's all.
And Dunfermline?
Dunfermline went there, yes.
And then you went down to Pet.
I forgot about that, I'm sorry. We used to put on these guards and things, you know, for the population, right? Yeah, but we were in down, but they just be there because of what was happening in the world, you know what I mean? So we could be drafted into something quickly because Dunfermline, you know, is a big port on the Forth, you know. And we could go down there. That was about their main effort, was to be there to be ready if anything happened.
Now, did you have any particular friends in the battalion at that early stage while you were A Company clerk?
I had two that I came from the same place as me, yes.
Who were they? Do you remember the names there?
Oh, it was Vic Walker from Itchin, and I think I have his name now. I can't remember how it was. A bloke called Gurney from Watford.
And what about your A Company, you know, you'd be in close contact with the company commander, I presume. You'd be in the office.
Not really.
Didn't see much. Do you know who he was?
We have another two, actually.
Were they good officers?
Yeah, regular officers.
Now, so then you went down into England.
Yes.
Round to Thetford, I think.
That's right.
And what do you remember of your time there?
So we stayed at Chapel Court, which is a big house. First of all, we went to a farm. That was it. We went onto a farm. Then after a little while, when I got it all organised, went to Chapel Court. And we had to come into Thetford to do guards for different places and about. Because there was a lot of aerodromes and things around there at that time.
And then you move various places around, you know, Yarmouth.
It's all guard work.
All guard work. So that period. Mm-hmm. Now, during this period, you switched your job, didn't you? Because you started to become a dispatch rider.
I did, yes.
Could you explain how that came, how a clerk came to be the
dispatcher? Because I was interested in motorbikes. I could ride one pretty well and pass the test.
When did you learn that?
Before the war.
Just out of private interest?
Yeah, right, yeah.
And how did you get the job then?
I applied for it. And I was tested by the transport officer, and I got it.
What made you fancy it? Just to be with motorbikes?
I just can't really say, tell you.
What was the test? Do you remember that?
Well, you rode it. We went to Sheringham in Norfolk. We went up there's a course there where they had reliability trials, and we did about on that course. Now see how you got on. Had a bit of training on maintenance and things. And if you could ride a motorbike for a start, you know, and it wasn't too hard.
What bikes were you introduced to, that were they using?
First one we had was a BSA 500.
What was that like as a bike, what, in your opinion?
Bloody heavy. Yeah, very heavy.
Difficult to manoeuvre and keep up then?
Well, it was, yeah. Because the centre of gravity was a bit high. You know,
so it tended to topple over.
It could do, yeah.
And
if it did, you were pinned down.
It was just from the weight. What about? Did it have any advantage? Was it good at anything?
Reliable. The only thing I didn't like about it was it had geared timing.
You know, what does that mean?
Valve timing. There were gears from the camshafts. See? And we had Nortons.
How did they compare to the BSA 500s?
Well, the valve time was a lot more simple because they had a chain time that you could do it by the side of the road, I think.
Yeah. But were they heavy as well?
I think they were a little bit lighter, just for a few pounds. And also they were longer.
Which you preferred, the Norton?
Yeah, the wheelbase was longer, and a bit lower.
So that was a better bike for you?
Well, for most of us. And it was a bit faster too, you know, a bit, the acceleration was better.
How fast would they go then?
They must have 50.
Any other bikes you were using at that time?
They brought in the Matchless, but I never rode one regularly. I only had the spare, you know.
What did you think of that though?
Well, the first one was the same as the ones we were already riding. But then they brought in later on when we were abroad. The one with the hydraulic forks.
Did that help?
Oh, it didn't.
If
you had the ordinary forks, the drove, that's what I call the drove forks, you had a shock absorber and you could tighten and adjust it, you know. There was a straight tube, apart from the spring in the tube, what you could do about it.
So it might not suit you as well as one that you'd set up for yourself.
No, it didn't. It got better, like, when you get more used to it.
Now, you were in the south of England. I think you finished up at Folkestone. I'm not quite sure.
We did, yes.
And anything about your time there?
Just the same.
Now, you were now a dispatch rider. What was your job then in England as a dispatch rider? Were you still attached to A Company, for instance?
No, I was A Court Company.
And what would you be doing?
Taking messages from our town to the brigade, or when the companies were separated from one company to another, you know.
And you enjoyed the work?
I did, yeah. Imagine.
What sort of special equipment did they give you in England?
Well, nothing at first. Then they put out breeches.
What were the breeches like? I've not seen them.
Made of whip cool stuff, you know, like the way I'm or the jockeys wear. And they came down to your calf, and you had your socks, and then you had a pair of hose tops to come up. No, they go up to your knee. You put the boots on, lace them, fasten the tops, turn down.
And what about?
And they had a steel piece in the right hand, so when you're kickstarting the bike, you wouldn't wear leather out.
What about helmet? Did you get a special helmet of any sort?
We were the first to get crash helmets in our brigade. And then we were the first, actually, in the army to get crash helmets at all.
When did you get them?
I can't think now. We wore tin hats on our in England. I think we went abroad.
And what were the helmets like? Because you wouldn't wear them in civilian life, would you? Crash helmets, or would you? Before the war, had you worn?
No,
on
it was optional then. You didn't bother.
So you had
these were made of papier-mâché stuff, you know, hard, and they had a line like a rugby scrum cap hook line, you know. So your head didn't touch the hard part.
Right, now, anything else you remember before you left for to go to North Africa?
Oh, we had about a couple of weeks out of embarkation leave. That's all I remember.
Were you worried about going to North Africa, or did you? I mean, was it?
When you got used to the idea, you know, we didn't know where we were going at the time. Actually, we went there.
What do you remember the journey out?
We're in a Bibby banana boat.
Do you know its name?
SS Staffordshire.
And what do you remember of the voyage?
Pretty good.
Were you seasick?
We sailed on Christmas Day for Liverpool, and most of us seasick on Christmas Day.
And were you?
Yes, I was. It lasted about started one day, finished the next day, you know, overnight.
What about the rest of the voyage?
Right.
And what were you landed at Algeria, I think.
Yeah, outside of Algeria, it's a place called Bassongari.
And what do you remember of your landing in Algeria and your first, you know, Bassongari, and your first experience of being abroad?
Not a lot, really, because we were convoyed straight away.
What about the heat, things like the climate, the people? Did that impress you with being very strange?
It did, yes. But you still got used to it. You had to.
So you were in a convoy. Where did you go?
Went from Bassongari. We went into... Have you got any notes there?
Well, you went up to the sort of facing the Green Hill area,
That's right, we did, yes.
And then they were in and out of the line with the rest of the brigade on these hill positions. Now, what do you remember of that period? Because you were acting as dispatch rider. They were in the line for about 6 months.
We were pretty busy.
Give us an idea of what you were doing.
We were taking messages backwards and forwards. Someone was having to collect rations, especially ram rations. And all that sort of thing. Yeah. Jobs where it's too far to walk, and you can't use a four wheel vehicle.
You said you took the rum ration. How would you get that on your bike?
Well, I did it about four times, and you had it in a wooden box, you know, and you just put it on top of your tank.
And sort of balanced it?
Yeah, well, the balance is sort of a tank flat, see.
You didn't have any big panniers or anything then?
We had, yes, but that was actually good. Because, I mean, if you put, you couldn't get a case of rum in it. Now there's big jars of rum. They were too flat there, but that boy, you know.
And what sort of messages would you be taking? Would you know what was in a message?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
What was the procedure for a message then? If they wanted to...
Well, you were on duty, you see, in the battalion, and you took it in turns to be at the battalion headquarters, the signal office. When you come through, I had to go, where you took it?
So... They wanted you to do it. What would they give it you sealed or just give it, or verbal, or how would they give you the message?
Either, depending what it was. You written down, you know, on a pad, but sometimes it was sealed, sometimes it wasn't.
So they'd give it to you and tell you who to take it to.
That's right.
And you'd know the route, would you?
Oh yes. If you didn't, you'd have to find it. They've got a map first, and it's miles away.
And then on the way, did you come under fire ever on a typical...
Very often, yeah.
Was it direct fire or just indirect artillery or mortar fire?
Indirect, mostly. Sometimes you, when you get near to your battalion quarters, you know, and you don't go forward there, then you often got under direct fire.
And wasn't that a bit difficult because you couldn't take cover very well? What would you do?
What could you do? A lot.
Would you zigzag or get
off? Oh, yes, that's right. That's what you do, yes.
Any close escapes you remember?
Yes, one with the RSM on the back. He shoved that near us and blew us up over. And he tried to get off while we were going, which didn't do a lot of good. On the back.
So... He panicked a bit then.
Well, I think so, yeah. A bloke called Thomason. No, you got him in your
notes, not? Thomas, I've got a note of Thomason, yeah. That was when you were on...
All mouth and trousers.
You also used to do outrider duty when you were on top of... What did that involve?
Well, if the CO was going anywhere, say, we didn't have jeeps, you know, those days, you know, then we had to ride behind him.
And what was the purpose of that?
If anything happened to him, you could get help. Or if he went and sent a message in a hurry to somebody, you know, you took it.
There'd just be one of you go?
Usually, yes. In a convoy, you see, that if you were in a convoy, then of course you had somebody riding point at the convoy in front, you know, and there's somebody with the CO at the same time.
Now, what bikes were you actually using in action? Was that... were you actually on a BSA?
Norton's mostly.
Norton's in North Africa. Mm-hmm. And do you know which mark they were?
Oh, God. I used to. Have you got anything?
There's a note of mark 5 or something, yeah, but I don't know whether that's it.
Yeah, it probably is.
What about the other dispatch riders, Donars?
Yeah.
Do you remember any of them now?
Yeah. Called Broughton, that was in Durham somewhere, in the Quay Durham. And
was that Nutty Broughton?
Nobby.
Nobby, yeah. Can't read my writing, yeah. Mm. What was he like?
Smashing bloke. And we had Jackie Foy, who came from Leeds somewhere. And we had Jack Draper, who came from somewhere in Bedfordshire.
Jock Gray, is it?
Jock Gray, yeah.
And you got on with all of them, did you?
Oh, yeah.
And that was all the riders. And Lieutenant Gurley was...
Gurney, sorry. He was signals officer.
Because you were part of the signals platoon.
I was then, yeah.
Did you mix much with the signalers?
Oh, yeah.
Or were they separate from you?
Well, no. You see, you're with them and you did the moving about work. And they just did the signalling.
And there was no...
They would take a message saying you could perhaps take it to somebody. She only had these old, what they call them, Don Fire things.
Now, what would a typical day be like for you then, if you were on, you know, during that period?
Well, you were doing as you were told, like looking after your bike.
Were you in charge of maintenance of your bike then?
Well, the motor transport people were, but when you were out in the line, of course, they were riding back in Bearstone.
So what would you do to keep your bike up to scratch?
Check it over.
What would you be checking for?
Checking for the tyres and the timing and those sort of things. I'm actually to really do it.
What about oil and petrol? Was that your responsibility?
Yes, you had to go and draw it from somewhere.
Where would that be?
Bearstone. That's the fitters were in Bearstone, see, and the fuel lorry and those sort of things.
So you wouldn't have...